Like you're crazy.
Hallelujah, Jesus. How many of you are praying this morning? Hallelujah.
You can see why you're clapping your hands. And the devil is wreaking havoc in your home. This is the
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. How many of you know this morning that no weapon formed against you shall prosper? He didn't say that they wouldn't be formed. He didn't say that they wouldn't try, but he said that they wouldn't work, that they wouldn't prosper. I'm so glad to be here with you this morning, that God has just been so good to me. You know, he's been better to me than I ever, ever going to be to myself. And I'm just grateful to be in the land of the living, that my body is well. You know, it's not because I've done something so great, but it's just been his grace and his mercy. You know, I've washed my hands more times this week than I can remember. You know, I feel like, you know, like I said, you know, my hands are always, you know, for me, it's kind of dry anyway. And you're just washing and trying to do everything that I can within my power. You know, I believe that, you know, God has put people here for us to understand and hear things and follow and do our part. And we must do our part. And I encourage you, brothers and sisters, that you do your part in this. Amen. Amen. For, you know, God is good and he's worthy to be praised. But, you know, there's a part that we have to do in this. There's a role that we do play in this, and we must play our role and must play our part. And I believe God is going to see us through to the end. Amen. Amen. I'm just so grateful to so many of you for being here with us this morning. You could have chosen to be on any other stream this morning, but there are many, many more out there. You know, almost everybody's out of church now, all across our nation and across the world. So for you to chose to be here with us at the Safe House, I'm grateful. You can find more information about us at www.safehousechurchgso.com. Again, that's safehousechurchgso.com. If you want to read a little bit more about us and get a little background and pedigree and all this kind of thing, that, you know, some of those things matter to people. But what matters to me is if you don't have the anointing, for the Bible says, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke and set the captive free. If you don't have the anointing, then just a waste of time. All right, so this morning I want to go in with you. God has just had me at a point where I just really have been just sharing, I believe, his heart that he has for me to share with you. And this today, I feel like he has me more in a teaching mode. This whole time while we've been going through what we've been going through as a country, as a nation, as a world, God has just put me in a place and given me a spirit just to uplift people. And you know, because we're in a time now, you know, we can beat you down. I mean, you know, if you've done wrong, you know, if you've been in sin, you know, if you're all over the place. But nonetheless, you know, how do you get out of this? Where do we find ourselves? How do we go to the next level? Where do we go from here? You know, yes, I've done this, I've done that, and I've fallen short of his glory, because the Bible tells us that all of us have done these things. But how do we go from here? And as I was praying and reading on this week, you know, God has had me in a special area this week, and I've just been really just focusing on that. And we see so many different things going on in our nation and calamity all over the place. And in particular, this week, you know, this year at our church, we have a theme every year. And this year has been 2020, the year of the gap. Meaning that what? We're standing in intercessory prayer for our nation. We're standing in intercessory for our brothers and sisters all across the world. We're standing in intercessory for one and another. And standing in intercessory means that what? I know that you have some shortcomings. I know you haven't done everything perfect, but there's a what? A gap there. And since there's a gap, what I'm going to do is, in the strength that God has given me, the authority that God has given me, I'm going to stand in the gap for you as a brother or sister. I'm going to stand in the gap, and that what? I'm going to see you through on this. Amen. So I'm just so grateful to all my Safe House family, those who are members of the Safe House Church here in Greensboro. Your pastor loves you. I'm grateful for each and every one of you. I thank you for those who so diligently support us, both financially and with your attendance and what God has called us to do, and believing in the vision that God has given me as the leader of Safe House Church. So real quickly, I'm going to ask you one more time, those who are on Facebook and all these things, hit the share button. Those who, you know, who have text messaging, you know the code, go ahead and just share this with as many people as possible. As we're going to go in today. And like I told you today, I feel more of a teaching anointing on me today, but that mean that I won't get preaching. Amen. But, you know, I can get preachy and you don't get anything, but I want you to get this today. I believe God has a right now word for somebody to say the root of fear. Why don't you touch your neighbor this morning, or touch the dog, or kick the cat, or whatever you got to do, and say the root of fear. See, I understand as a country boy, and I'm a self-proclaimed country boy, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I grew up in a town, I don't even think we got a stoplight even now. And I walked everywhere I don't need to go, and you know, I fish and I hunt, and I did all these kind of things that, you know, country boys would do. And I remember when we used to get weeds, and weeds would come in our yard. Even though yesterday I was cutting my grass, and I noticed there's some weeds there. And when you get weeds in your yard, one of the best things to do is to be able to get that thing from the root or the rut. Some people say the rut. It depends on where you're from, but I say the root, you know, in my vernacular. And the root of a thing is the thing that what gives it life. See, you can cut grass, we cut it, and we often do, you know, because we like the beauty of it. And, you know, we cut it. And what we find out is that what it continuously replenishes itself. It'll heal itself. It'll grow back, and it'll continue to go. And every time you think you got it done, what happens is if it gets a little water, it gets a little fertilizer, then what it'll do, it'll pick itself back up, and it'll grow again. And what we find is that for some of us, we have some things that we have to, what we call, root out. What I mean by root out, meaning that we have to go in there and pull some things out by the root. The root of a thing is what? The life source. The root of a thing is the life source of it. It is the place where it gains its life. It is the place of where it gets its nutrients from, where it gets its water from, where it gets its power from. It's the thing that allows it to stay in place when things are going on. You know, when you're rooted and grounded, it's that thing that allows, you know, everything else can be going on up top. But if you're rooted and grounded, you just don't get swayed and you don't get moved by any and everything. Are y'all with me this morning? So what happens is when something is rooted, you know, we talk about us being rooted and grounded in the Word of God. When we're rooted and grounded in the Word of God, that means that what we're just not slayed or swayed by any old form of doctrine. We're just not what people say and what people do. But, you know, we trust God and say that, okay, God, I see some things are going on up the top, but I know that even if my whole top disappears, if everything on top of the ground is removed, if everything there is no longer there, I know I have a root system, and since I have a root system, then what? I can get nutrients and things to what? To replenish and then grow again. This is why a root is so important. This is why foundation is so important. This is why the base, the beginning of a thing is so important. Why? Because this is what everything else stands on. And I'm telling you today that if you want to get fear out of your life, you got to root it out. You got to be able to identify the roots of fear. You got to be able to identify where it comes from and how it works in your life and how it manipulates you and puts you in places that you shouldn't be in, and you have you in a place that you make decisions that you shouldn't make. Why don't you journey with me on this morning? Let's talk about it. The root of fear. All right, so here I'm going to read today our Bible verse. We in Isaiah. I'm in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, 8th chapter, and we're going to be at verse 11. The book of Isaiah, I'm going to give you a chance to get it, Isaiah 8 and 11. Isaiah 8 and 11. All right, and it reads as such. Let me give it a second here, and it reads as such. It says, "For the Lord spake thus to me, with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say, A confederacy? Neither fear ye, their fear not, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, to both the house of Israel for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord, the height of his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him." Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. Lord, we ask that this word, Lord, you be our own time word, Lord, you, that it meet people where they are, Lord, you, that feeds them, Lord, you, where they are, Lord, you, that we be able to identify the root of evil on this morning. Lord, I ask you, watch over and keep us, hold us in the palm of thy hand. In Jesus' name we ask, amen, amen. All right, so we're on this morning, we're going to talk about the root of evil. The root of Eden. Let's go. All right, so what is fear? What is fear? So by definition, one of the things you must do when you first start out to teach something, and this goes back to just my pedagogical teaching and being able to be a trained professional teacher, is that you must start out with a definition of something. And how are we defining fear? And that's important. Why? Because once I lay the basis of how we define fear, everything else that we talk about from this point is built upon that premise. It's built upon that logic. It's built upon how we're looking at that particular thing. So what is fear is what we're asking. What is fear? What is fear? Think about it for a moment. Ask yourself, what is fear? Have you ever given yourself the opportunity to think, what is fear? If this is your first time with us at Safe House Church, you'll find out that we're thinking people, that God has given us brains and he's given us intellect and he wants us to use them. So I challenge you often to open your Bible and to think about some of these things. Just don't do everything because I say do it. No, but read that Bible and see what it tells you. Mm-hmm. See that you find it to be true. And I guarantee you that he will never, ever, ever lead you, nor lead you astray. So what is fear? What is fear to you? Fear, by definition, is what I find. Let me get this thing out of my way here. Is the emotion deriving from circumstances, mood, relationship, and its instinctive natural man's reaction. So fear in its purest form is what? We have an emotional thing. It's emotional for us. We find ourselves in a place of what? Emotion. And see, I don't know about you, but I've learned a really, really long time ago that Peter cannot trust his emotions. Why? Because when I trust my emotions, see, my emotion, it depends on my circumstance. You know, if I'm in a good mood, if I'm having a good time with my wife and we having good conversation, because sometimes we don't have good conversation. That's part of marriage. Oh, come on, somebody. You know, I'm just real in here. You know, sometimes we have some intense fellowship, but then there's sometimes I just can't get enough of it. There's sometimes I want her to go in the other room. See, you know, sometimes my mood, you know, is dependent on the weather. Sometimes if it's rainy and gloomy, it might make me feel a certain way. Sometimes it's my circumstance, whether I got enough money in the bank or do I have the things that, you know, that I want to be able to try to do. All these things can affect my mood. They can affect my, you know, the circumstances and relationship. But what, there's a natural reaction to these things, and we call it emotion. A natural reaction to these things is known as your emotion, and you cannot trust your emotion. You know, one of the things I've learned, you know, as a professional, you know, sometimes, you know, I get those nasty emails. How many of you sometimes get a nasty email from somebody? Every now and then, you know, I get something that would just stick to me, and I'm asking myself, why in the heck did you send me this? And I want to respond with a hair trigger. I want to say this, you know, you ever going to get to that little, you ever seen that meme, the guy be doing like this, just type, and say all these bad things, right? You know, and then sometimes when I get to the point is I stop. And you know what? I've gotten to the point. Sometimes I erase it. And then I go type it again. Because see, that first time what I'm doing is I'm responding out of fear. And I'm probably going to, you know, not fear of my emotion. And I'm probably going to say some things in there that I really didn't want to say, probably shouldn't say. But because of my emotion state, the place that I find myself in, that is the easiest reaction to get that emotion out. So emotion can be dangerous, and we got to be careful that we don't get what just caught up in our emotions. So emotion, the emotion has seven elements. You know, there's an argument that there's more than seven, there's 10 or whatever, but at least seven we're going to identify. And you can talk about fear as an emotion, sadness, disgust, anger, happiness, surprise, and contempt. Fear, sadness, disgust, anger, happiness, surprise, and contempt are seven emotions that all of us deal with it at some point, and we deal with them on the constant basis, and we're going through these things. And how does these things play into this fear? I'm glad you asked. So why fear? Why do we need fear? It seems like God, you can just put us here without fear and let us go on. But fear plays an important role. Like, you know, the Bible says like this, that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Then what? There is an important part why fear is here. Fear leads to behavior change based on what stimuli in response to prevention. What do you mean by that, Peter? What are you saying? Your fear is here to keep you to continually change your behavior. What do you mean? If you fear something, then you what? You happen to avoid it. When you fear something, you find a way to cope with it. And what it does, it changes your behavior. See, I remember coming up as a child, I used to fear getting whipped. Now, you know, some people say, oh, that's child abuse, this and that. You know, and this is what I say. And I'll be careful how I word this. You know, I know my parents whipped me because they loved me and they kept me out of a lot of trouble. And I am who I am today because of it. Okay. And you wouldn't probably never ever convince me of that. But I know when that man whipping somebody on the head with that stick in the street, he trying to whip him because he's trying to control him. There's a difference. So it's okay when he's trying to control them, but it's different when I'm trying to discipline them and put them on the right path to where God have them to go. That stimuli was that switch. And it was what? For response or prevention. So it kept me from doing things. It kept me out of stuff. Why? Because now I'm thinking, okay, if I do this, I know that's going to be a consequence of my action. So what? Fear leads to what? Behavior change. So fear, all fear is not bad fear. We're going to talk about some of those dimensions of that fear today as we go a little deeper. Are y'all with me? You know, say I'm with you if you got me. You know, type in I'm with me if you're on the screen. All right? So let's talk about these types of fear. So we have what we call rational fear, and then we have irrational fear. Rational fear, irrational fear. Rational fear, these are just things that make sense. What do you mean by things that make sense? Things that make sense to be scared of. You know, things that, that I have a natural fear to them. And then you have what they call some irrational fears. What we're going to spend a little time focusing on today is those irrational fears. Because, see, like I said, there's two types of fear. We got rational fear, irrational fear. So if I was putting labels on them, I would say rational would probably be the good fear. And then irrational fear would be what we would call or consider the bad fear. Okay? Are y'all with me? Hey, gospel professor is in class today. So if you got book, paper, pencil, I would advise you to take notes because these are some things that's going to help you. So, you know, I know many of us, like, we can't get to our normal churches and these kind of things. So if you're just using us as supplemental nourishment, which is fine with by me, take some notes, write some things down so that what during the week you can go back and reflect. Why? Because this thing is not about me. This is what my job is, to inspire you to open up your Bible and read it. My job is to inspire you to say, hey, you know what? Let me see what this thing is saying to me so that you can grow. Because I can't be with you always. You know, it's nice that we can do Facebook Live and we can do Zoom and all these things. But there may be a time where we can't do any of these things. How do you get to God for yourself? This is what we're preparing you for. Get to him for yourself. All right. It's not about me. You know, you can do this for yourself. So let's talk about irrational fear. Irrational fear. Irrational fear comes from phobias. So irrational fear is really a phobia which leads to anxiety. And you have anxiety over what? Some uncontrollable or some unavoidable threat. You think about the times that many of us are in fear. You know, we're in a world now that many are in fear. And why are they in fear? Because of what? Their anxiety of things that is going to happen, and you know, things that they can control, loved ones that are getting sick, and jobs that are closing up, and people who find themselves not being nice to them, and all kinds of stuff is happening. And all these things come. Some of us have phobias. Some of you have phobias of snakes. And phobia is just another word for fear. You know, you have phobia of snakes. Then you have what? Arachnophobia. I just remember that because they had a movie about it. What? It was spiders. And all these different phobias, they what? Lead to anxiety. They get you feeling uneasy, which is anxiousness. And the Bible tells us what? Not to be anxious for anything. And now that I'm anxious, I'm in a place of what? It being uncontrollable or unavoidable. So now I worry myself to death on things I cannot change. Oh, come on, somebody. Let me let that sink in for a second. Ask yourself this morning, how many of you find yourself in a place of something that's uncontrollable? I cannot control what this virus is doing out here in this air. I cannot control, you know, some of the decisions some of the people around me make. And therefore, we find ourselves in this place of what? Anxiety. And now we have this phobia and this irrational fear, because now we have this fear of things that we cannot control. And now we worry ourselves to death. We worry ourselves literally sick. Some of us getting sick right now, just worried about what things might happen. And we don't even know if they're going to happen. This is why we have to put our trust what? In God. Because when we put our trust in God, then what we say is, okay, God, This irrational fear, I don't need to worry about this stuff because I know it's things that I can't control. But you said that you never would leave me, nor would you forsake me. You said you never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. And I have to put my trust and hope and know that, Lord Jesus, that at the end of the day, when all this comes around, that I can't control none of it, Lord Jesus, that you hold it all in the palm of your hand. And since you hold it all, Lord, I got to trust you in this situation. I got to trust you here in this place. I got to trust and know, Lord Jesus, that despite it all, Lord Jesus, that you have my best interest in, that all things are going to work for my good. I got to know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I got to know that if you feed the birds and out of the air, Lord Jesus, that you will find something, what, to make sure that I eat. We got to trust them. Irrational fear. What else about irrational fear? Irrational fear is sometimes based on social relations and culture. It determines when and how much we feel the fear. Let me give you a prime example. Every time you turn on Fox News, every time you turn on CNN, every time you turn on MSNBC, and they're talking about, oh, the virus this and the virus that, and these things may be true. I'm not discrediting them. I'm a man of science myself. I'm not discrediting them, right? However, if you continually just feed yourself this negativity all the time, if you continue to put yourself in places of negativity, if you continue to put yourself in cultures of negativity where everything is doom and gloom, nothing's going to get better. Everything's here. The thing that you feed the most is what's going to grow. The thing that you put the most time in is the thing that's going to prosper. And we have to be careful who we connect ourselves with. We got to be careful who we talk with, who that we put ourselves around, who that we come and lock an arm with. Why? Because that's the thing that's feeding us. We talking about the root of fear this morning. We talking about the root of fear. Why? Because you're rooted in what? That social relationship. You're rooted in that culture of negativity. And now it determines and it tells you what to do and how to do it and where to go and where not to go. It even controls the thermostat to your house. Oh, come on, somebody. I remember one time T.D. Jakes used this analogy in his book that sometimes, you know, like, I think he was talking about unforgiveness was like somebody else holding the thermostat to your house and I mean to your house at their house. And they can turn up how they want. I'm saying that irrational fear is the same way that what? That somebody else is holding the thermostat. And every time they want you a little bit more scared, then they just turn it up a little bit and we tune in a little bit more. And we find ourselves now, we start thinking about all these things and now these phobias. You know, what if this happened? And what if that happened? What if it don't happen? You know, is the cup half full or is it half empty? I just have to decree and declare myself, for me and my house, the cup is going to be half full. It's going to be half full. Why? Because I choose. Remember, there is a choice, and we always have a choice. We always have the option. The most powerful thing about serving Jesus Christ is that when he gives us options, he said, choose ye this day that whom you're going to serve. But Joshua said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You got to make a choice today. If you notice here, I don't push anybody. You know, I don't have that kind of ministry to shame people into stuff and all this kind of thing. If that's what they do, that's fine. But I believe that God has given us choices. And life is about choices. And the choices we make lead to the consequences that we get. Sometimes there's God's mercy and his grace that's upon us. But it's the choice. And I choose not to live in irrational fear. I choose to identify these things in my life that's pulling me down and got me looking at things a little differently and not saying that this is not going to be enough and that's not going to be enough. And I got to believe that as I walk through that, these things have always been there and I did not notice them. Why? Because I was walking in irrational fear. See, one of the things that I find all the time is this. See, you know, say for instance, you went to the store. I mean, you went to the car lot and you bought a red Camry, a red Toyota Camry. That's a good car. A red Toyota Camry. Now, all of a sudden, when you get on the road, have you not noticed all of a sudden, you see a whole bunch of red Toyota Camrys. It seemed like everybody, you know, before you got the red one, nobody had the red Toyota Camry. But now, you see this one with a red Toyota Camry, you see that one with a red Toyota Camry, and you're like, man, the reason I wanted to get this red Toyota Camry is because I thought I would be unique. I didn't think nobody else would have one. I thought that I would be an anomaly. I thought I would be in here by myself. And now you notice everybody else have one. The truth of the matter is simply this. People always had those red Toyota Camrys. You just did not know them. Why? Because you were not aware. Why? Because That was not your mindset. Your mindset was somewhere else. But now, since it's your car, you identify it being your car. So now it's part of your mental capacity, your way of understanding how you look at things. Now that it's part of that, you look at it all the time. So now you are aware. Oh, come on, somebody. I just helped somebody right here. Think about it. So now what I'm saying, with irrational fear. If you have an irrational fear, you will always identify these things. Why? Because these are going to be the things. Because are they there? Yes. But what I'm suggesting to you is that when we get out of that, we get to rational fear. Because if we don't have rational fear, you know, there's some things that we should be fearful of. However, when I decide to make this choice, then what I see all the goodness that's around me too. So it's, yes, there's some bad things around me. Yeah, there's some things there that I don't want to partake in. Yes, there's some things that are there to pull us down. However, I choose to look at the other side of this. I choose to look at the things that he do have that's what? That's there. Are y'all with me this morning? Come on, we rooting out that fear today. So let's fear, fear's basic goal. What is fear's basic goal? God, why must we even have to deal with fear? It's simple. It's about survival. See, fear is about survival. I remember back in April, they told us about where that fight or flight response. And what happens is that you got to a point that you fear that your body had, basically, I call them rocket boosters, saved up, or extra rocket fuel saved up, that in a minute's response, in a second's response, that it would release this stuff called adrenaline. Right? And when the adrenaline leaves and goes to your body, it makes your blood vessels dilate and all this kind of stuff. And now you have the superhuman strength to be able to fight whatever it is that you're in right now. You have this super ability to fight whatever it is that you're going through right now. It's just like when we get the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost comes into our life and it gives us what supernatural power to be able to fight the things that I normally wouldn't be able to fight. It gives me supernatural power to be able to go through the things that I normally couldn't go through. It gives me supernatural power to be able to face the things. It gives me supernatural power to be able to shut my mouth when I should be able to shut, when I need to shut my mouth. And give me the supernatural power to be able to proclaim things when I need to proclaim them. This is why the Holy Ghost is important to us. It's about survival. How do I make it through this world with all these different things going on? I know people are thinking in their home, thinking about suicide right now. Some are worried about how they're going to make it through next week. But when you have the Holy Ghost, it just reminds you, because the Bible said that Holy Ghost is a comforter. And when he comes in, he comforts me and he relaxes me. He tells me that, Peter, I know it didn't look good right now. I know it don't seem like it's going to work out in your favor right now. I know it don't seem like they care about you. It seems like you've been overlooked. It seems that you've been looked over. But I'm here to remind you today that I got you, and that I have a path for you, and that I have a place for you, and that I have a plan for you, and that there's a way that seems right. But he said, lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? He shall direct your path. Oh, come on, somebody. So fear is about survival. So when I'm in fear, what I do? I run. I escape. I move. The Bible puts it like this. He said that, what, there is a way of escape. When the devil is coming after me, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God has provided a way of escape. Didn't he say it? He said that, what, he's provided a way of escape. So there's a place that, what, that you and I can escape to in him. There's a place we talked about last week. We talked about the sanctuary. We talked about hiding in him. We quoted Isaiah 20 and 26 when he said, go in and shut the doors and get into the sanctuary and hide in him. He wants us to hide in him. That was us trusting in him. Lord, I can't control it anyway. Ain't nothing I can do about it anyway. But if I hide in you, if I put my trust in you, I survive. It's in particularly about what? Survival of self. Think about that for a moment. Let me let that sink in for a second. I just laid the turn on you right there. Woo! I'm hot in here. They got me sweating good. All right. Survival of self. So you think about it. When you are in fear, what are you trying to do? Think about it. What are you trying to do? You're trying to preserve yourself. Woo! You're trying to preserve yourself. And Jesus tells us, and the Bible tells us that what? He said, For if you give up yourself, then you will what? Find yourself. You know, as I was reading this and I was studying this week, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Our reason that we are in fear is because what? We're trying to save ourselves. See, if you're not trying to save yourself, then there's nothing to fear. Why? Because you already know by what? Him, that you are saved. Come on, somebody. Did y'all catch that? That's good. That you already look saved because he saves you. But when you look, stop and you lean to your own understanding and you try to save yourself, then you find yourself in fear. Why? Because you understand that you cannot do it yourself. Are y'all with me this morning? If y'all with me, y'all let me know on Facebook Live, on here. Somebody just holler at me. You know, I feel like I'm almost in church now. Save yourself. It's yourself and it's ourselves that always get us in trouble. It's my own selfish motives. It's what Peter wants to do that gets him in trouble. It's what Peter wants to say that gets him in trouble. It's Peter's selfish desires that gets him in trouble. It's Peter's lust that gets him in trouble. It's Peter's greed that gets him in trouble. It's Peter's countenance that gets him in trouble. It's Peter's anger that can get him in trouble. It's Peter itself. Identify yourself in this. Are y'all with me this morning? So what? You're in fear. Why? Because you can't save yourself. That's the root of it right there. Oh, man. Come on, somebody. That is the root of it right there. The root of fear is you trying to save yourself. But you get to a point in time and you understand what? I cannot save myself. Somebody type on right now. You cannot save yourself. You cannot save yourself. This is why you need a savior. Woo, I want to hammer this point home. I want you to get this. Think about it. Think about every time you've been in fear, what were you doing? Trying to preserve yourself. You were trying to preserve yourself. Every single time you were trying to preserve yourself, you were. And that's the interesting thing about this is that, and I never saw it like this, that God just brought it out to me like this. It's like, wow. I mean, I can think of a time that almost every time I ever been in fear, what was I trying to do? Save myself. When I was in fear of my job, what I was doing? I was trying to preserve myself because I want to preserve my way of life. When I was in fear of something happening to my body, what? I was trying to save my body because I didn't want the pain. When I was in fear of, you know, relationship being broken or bridges being burned, what? I was in fear of what? I was in fear because what? I wanted to save the relationship because it was about myself. So all this at the end of the day boils down to what? Us and our own selfish motives. Let's move on. I ain't having that enough. All right, so what are we talking here? Survival. We are about what? Survival. Let's go in particular set. Survival is what? Preparedness. Quick to feel, avoid situations, reproduce. So what do? Since we're always, now we in fear, we in survival mode. What do? We try to store up things for it. The Bible said what? He said in Matthew, he said, don't store up all this stuff on earth where the moths can eat it. He said, but put your riches in heaven where no man can touch them. But what do? We went to the grocery store. You know, some of y'all got all the toilet paper. I haven't been to the grocery store 5 or 6 times, I guess, in the last couple of days. I've seen the store yet to have any toilet paper. We got all the toilet paper. They got all the ground beef. They got all the turkey. They got all the chicken. Why? Because we're trying to what? Prepare. And I'm not saying, hear me well now. I'm not saying that you don't get things. But we're talking about what? This survival, how we get ourselves in trouble. Quick to feel, that feel, there's that feeling again. We talking about that emotional piece. Emotions up and down, it's like a roller coaster. You're all over the place. You know, made me feel good today, we good. You made me mad tomorrow, I hate your guts. I wish I never seen you. I'm blowing you up. I'm about to put you on blast on social media. Y'all with me this morning? Amen. Avoiding situations. Some of us are just avoiders. You know, I don't want to argue. But now you ain't dealing with the problem, so now it festers on you like a cancer. Woo, y'all feeling this thing today. That thing festers on you because you don't want to deal with the situation, so you just walk away. And you walking away, what? Didn't fix the problem. It didn't fix the situation. And what does it do? And now it just what? It starts to fester and grow and grow until now you like a cannonball and you go off and people are like, well, why did she just go off because I drank the Kool-Aid? Let me tell you something. It wasn't about you drinking the Kool-Aid. It was about the time that you ran the car out of gas. It was also about the time you left your drawers in the floor. It was also about the time you didn't clean up after yourself. It was also about the time you didn't pay the rent. It was also about the time that you didn't pay the bill on time. It was also about that. And that right there, drinking the Kool-Aid was just the last straw. Oh, come on. I'm helping somebody today, ain't I? Come on, somebody. It was just the last straw. So it wasn't about you drinking the last little bit of the Kool-Aid. It was about all the other things that I wouldn't deal with. So I avoided it. Why? Because I was trying to survive the relationship. It was about the time that the boss didn't do right by me. And they treated me this way. And they didn't let me off. And they wouldn't let me go help my kid at school. And they wouldn't let me do this. They wouldn't let me do that. And you got to the point you just got up, you walked out, and you quit. Because you wouldn't address the issue. We're talking about root cause today. The root of fear. You got to address it. Self. And then what? Survival's about reproducing. If I'm not going to make it, I'm going to make someone else like myself. This is why we find out a lot of time our children are what? Just mini-me's. As we used to say, mini-me. Y'all remember mini-me from Austin Powers? I know y'all watched that. But mini-me's, right? So like, you know, my wife said, my son is just like me. And I see some of the things and I'm looking at him like, oh my God, boy, this is terrible. But I reaped. I'm reaping what I sow. So now I'm trying to teach him how to navigate. He said, boy, when you get upset, you can't be like this. And my wife looks at me and said, well, that's kind of how you was acting. I'm like, oh, gosh. You see what I'm saying? So we reproduce what in survival because what? We want our species. We want our kind. We want our life to go forward. Are y'all? Yes, we there this morning? Hey, man, I don't know how I'm doing for time. You know, but I guess if I'm going too long, y'all leave. You know, it is what it is. All right. But if you're enjoying this, just tell, hey, this time I type real quick, say, I am enjoying this today. If you're enjoying this, say, I am enjoying this today. Just type that in for me real quick. Let me know you're enjoying this, that you're getting something out of this. No, I'm not real, real preaching today, but I want something to sink into your spirit. I want something for you to be able to chew on all week long. I'll post this. This will be on our YouTube page, so you can go back and you can share it later with others. I want this to be something that sticks to your bones with stuff going on this weekend. When you find yourself in fear, remind yourself, look, is it about me or is it about you, God? Is it you that's helping me or is it me got myself in me that got me stuck, that got me thinking this way? Are y'all got me this morning? All right, as we going on. All right, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, so he goes on, he says this. Survival is really about what? Adaptation to stimuli. It's about you adapting to your environment. So you think about it. You adapt by what? Being prepared. You adapt by what? Using your feelings, you know, because you make a quick decision. You adapt by what? Avoiding situations, You know, you adapt by what? Reproducing. If I'm not going to be here, at least my offspring is going to be here. Am I making sense to somebody today? So survival is about what? Adaptation. And some of you have adapted so much. When you adapt, what do? You change things. So, you know, people walk up to you and say, well, such and such ain't like she used to be. And some of us say, well, no, it ain't that I changed, it's that you changed. But truth of the matter is, maybe I did. Maybe I did change. And it was different things. What? It was me trying to prepare that made me change how I did something. It was me feeling these emotions that made me change something. It was me avoiding situations. Come on, now, think about it. If you want to avoid something, you know, like you driving down the street and you know that's potholes on this road. You don't want to drive your car. You might drive all the way 2 miles around just to avoid that one street. So it costs you double amount of work because you didn't want to have to deal with that situation. Ask yourself that today in your relationships and your things and things that you're dealing with. We're talking about this today. Working on this. Come on. All right. Reproducing. Reproduce, of course. Again, we adapt to stimuli. Think about right now. What are we doing? We are learning to adapt to this virus. Whether you realize it or not, you know, it's something, this may become our new normal. Everybody else has been washing their hands for, 21 days straight now. Now we got a new habit. Everybody's going to be washing their hands, washing their hands, washing their hands, washing their hands. Soap sounds like a very good investment right now. Do you see what I'm saying? So what? Survival is about what? That you learn to adapt. You learn to adapt. All right. Let's keep going. I'm asking chats and everything. This is just different ones online like this, but I like it. And I hope that this is helping somebody. All right, so let me go on the next slide. So then you go on, can fear be learned? So we talked about what there was a natural thing, right? But can it actually be learned? Learned fear is actually this thing called conditioning. So what? We are at a point now in time that what media and different things condition us. When you condition something, what you do is what? You prepare it. You know, when I'm conditioning, you know, my hair, you know, I don't have any, but you know, when I used to have it, you know, conditioning the hair, well, I would condition it to what? Prepare it for me to do other things to it. So that continually conditioning us. So fear can be learned, that they condition you. So, you know, we know things like, you know, the people that there are all kinds of scientific experiments and things that have been conditioning, you know, their cognition conditioning, you know, the famous one about, I think it was Slavin, about the dog, and he would ring the bell and the dog, then they would feed the dog. He would ring the bell and he would feed the dog. He would ring the bell and he would feed the dog. Then it came a point in time that he would ring the bell and then he wouldn't feed the dog. And what the dog started to do, the dog had become so conditioned to the, when the bell rung, it was time for them to eat. What they did is now the bell would ring and there would be no food in his mouth. He would start salivating at the mouth. His body had gotten to the point that he was prepared himself to have it because now he's so used to it coming. But let me give you something today. Why are we talking about the roots of the fear? Roots of fear, what is this conditioning that we're in? Because we're in a day and time now that we have been conditioned that we believe that things should happen the way they should happen. And there's no question about it. I'm included that Americans, we are spoiled. In the United States, we are spoiled. We've been blessed beyond measure. I expect to get paid once a month or every 2 weeks. I expect when I come on that my light's going to come on. I expect to have clean drinking water. Uh-huh. And if not, we're going to cause them. We're going to go raise hell about it. I expect my kids to be able to go to public school and have good teachers. I expect, you know, I'm seeing all these things. I expect, because I've got to the point I'm conditioned that I expect these things. And if it's not, then you're against my rights, and I'm going to protest, and I'm going to tear down statues, and I'm going to tear up stuff until you give me what I want. Because I've been conditioned that I am privileged to have this stuff. Think about that for a moment. I told y'all, we're a thinking church at the safe house. We think about these things. When God told us what? That he would just what? Supply our needs. All these other things are luxuries. They are. And I'm glad that we have them. Don't get me wrong. I am grateful. I am grateful that I can turn on the light, that I can get clean water, that I can go to the grocery store. I ain't got to go out there and plant everything I want to eat. I ain't got to go out there and hunt everything I want to eat and all this other stuff. I can get toilet paper when I can find it and all this, right? I'm grateful. But we can't get to the point that we've been so conditioned that, hey, our whole world falls apart if we don't get it when we want it. Because he said, I don't need what? All you need, according to my riches and glory. All right. Are we getting something this morning? So, fear can be what? Observed because of observation of trauma to self and others. Children learn fear from watching other children get hurt. This is why we got to be careful. We got to watch these things called our eye gates. We got to watch what we watching and what goes into us. Remember, I told you the thing that you feed the most is the thing that's going to grow. So observation of trauma. We see people being hurt and we see this. And what does it do? It puts us in fear. You know, I've seen, you know, how they were looking, you know, what they were looking like over in China and things were going bad and when this virus was coming. So what happened is when the virus hit our shores, we was already terrified. We were terrified. Why? Because we observed the trauma. We observed the turmoil that they were going through and thinking, Lord, we don't want that to happen here. And I agree. I didn't want it to happen here either. But what? We observed this and now it became what? Our reality, because through anxiety and our own phobias, we was playing this over and over in our head, knowing that what? We had no control. Remember I told you this. No control over it whatsoever. And it was unavoidable. I couldn't just move up here and go to Mars. Because if you could, people would have already done it. Do you see what I'm telling you this morning? So since those things were uncontrollable, we find ourselves in this place. Mm-hmm. And now we're stuck. So what? We're observing trauma that happens to us. You know, things that happen to me bad. You know, I've been traumatized. I'll share a personal story with you all. And I may be telling too much of my business, but I believe this is going to help somebody. So if it's going to help somebody out there, maybe that's why I went through it. I remember in high school. And, you know, it was graduation day and da, da, da. I'm all excited. This is my first time graduating, right? I mean, high school graduation is a big deal, right? You know, graduated high school. I'm the first in my family to graduate, da, da, da. I go through the ceremony. And I go through there, and they're handing everybody their diplomas. Congratulations, congratulations. But I remember before that, my guidance counselor said, about 10 of y'all gonna get a surprise today. And you know, I didn't think none of that. I knew I passed all my courses. I'm going to college. I got a full scholarship to Elizabeth City State. Shout out to ECSU. And you know, I'm going and I'm like, okay. And I get there. Principal shakes my hand, gives me my diploma, and I go back and I sit in my seat, and my diploma is not in there. And I'm in utter shock. I'm like, okay, why is my diploma not here? So once we get through, and I, you know, not only am I'm embarrassed, to be honest. I'm here, I am. Like, I think at that time, I'm pretty sure I was the highest achieved African-American male in my school. And I don't even have a diploma. What's the deal? They were like, hey, and I actually had a bill for $10. And I went through this whole thing. Like, I got this bill, and it was, I was just traumatized. And what do you mean? How do you know I was traumatized? Because I'm going to tell you what happened. From that point on, I think I had the privilege of graduating 4 more times after that. You know, God has blessed me. I've been able to go to school and do a lot of different things, okay? And what happened was, when I graduated from undergrad at Elizabeth City State, I'm student government president. I'm sitting on the stage beside the president. I talk to the class, okay? But I'm in fear that when it's done, am I going to get my diploma? Why? Because in high school, you see how these little things just follow you through life? And I'm just telling on myself. But because in high, and my wife knows this because she laughs at me. And I'm like, no, this thing really did mess me up, y'all. I'm serious. Because let me tell you one thing real quick, side note. If your problem is your problem, it's your problem. Don't let anybody tell you that your problem is small, because it's your problem. And it's your problem that you're dealing with at that time. And until you get through it, it is a big deal. So don't let nobody belittle your problem. Got it? All right. Just, I'm being passive this morning. So after this, so now I'm getting to the point, I go, and I never forget, when they finally gave me my diploma, they went through the things, oh, here's your diploma, I got it. It was a sign of relief that came over me. Because I was sitting there, I do not want this to be, you know, this embarrassment to happen to me again, because it happened to me in high school, and it traumatized me. Then what happens? I go to graduate school, you all. I go get a master's. And I kid you not, at this time, Felicia and I were dating, and we was there early, my wife and I, because, you know, the bigger schools, you know, I graduated from NC State, and the bigger schools, they had, like, the big ceremony, then they had the little ones. And since I was just getting a master's, I just wanted to go to the little one. So we was going to the little one, and we got there early, and I saw a stack of diplomas. And I knew that there were diplomas. So I went in there. Sometimes, you know, certain schools, they'd be in there, they might not be in there. I kid you not, I went up there, and I went through that whole stack of diplomas until I saw my name. That's what fear does. Fear has you doing dumb stuff because you've been conditioned. See, people wonder, how do you end up doing some dumb stuff? That's how you do dumb stuff. You get conditioned and you don't even realize. I was traumatized. And I know this might be funny and it's a funny example to some, but I want you to see through my funny example, funny real life and really truly bother me example. Uh-oh, I just killed my mic. No, yes. Okay, y'all can hear me. I don't know. My mic just died. Through my funny, true, real-life example, this was traumatizing me. So much so, what did I do? Then I went on, and I got a PhD. And I kid you all not. My wife, my mother, and my mother-in-law, and my newborn baby, they was all there. And you know what I couldn't think of? I couldn't enjoy the moment. Man called my name across the stage. I've got... This is 10 or 15 years worth of work. It's accumulation. It's a lot of sacrifice on everybody's part. A lot of people prayed for me because I didn't get there by myself. That turtle don't get on the fence post by itself. Somebody put some there. And I went through all this stuff, and now I'm at graduation. And instead of me enjoying the moment with my family that, you know, the first doctor in the family got PhD and all this stuff, I am worried, am I going to get the diploma, y'all? And then I get in my little line back there, and sure enough, when I get it, there's this sense of relief. Now he knows that. Little issue. Trauma. But look how it followed me all my life. That little small thing. Some of us need to identify these traumas in our life and deal with them. We need to deal with them. We need to deal with these traumas that are in our life. I'm sorry, my mic is acting up a little bit. These little traumas, we need to deal with them. And this is what helped us go. We're talking about getting out of what? The root of fear. So that's part of my root of fear, was that I was dealing with these little traumas. Culture and historic context. You know, I'm a man of color. There's no question about that. So there's some things culturally I deal with. You know, I came from my family comes from a part of this upstate, you know, that we talk about Nat Turner might actually be a distant cousin. Because my father grew up in the Dismal Swamp area. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandmother was pretty much mulatto.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying? You know, because, you know, when we used to ask grandma about certain things, grandma wouldn't tell us. You know, I remember as a child when we used to go visit my grandma, she, you know, we had indoor plumbing water. My grandma did not have indoor plumbing. Water. I didn't know people even lived like that. I thought it was just things we read about in books. And I'm talking about the 90s, y'all. My grandma, you know, for us as kids was fun because we had all the modern day amenities. So we would come down, our cousins would, you know, they would put their chores off on us because that was what they did to survive. And for us, it was fun because we never got to do those kind of things. So we was going outside and we was pumping water. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all know the cut. I tell y'all, I ain't but a country boy. So we was outside climbing the pump, pumping water. We was heating water on the gas stove.
Mm-hmm.
She was washing clothes in a wash pan with a washboard. Oh, yeah. I'm talking in the 90s, y'all. The 90s. This was still going on. Grandma didn't have indoor plumbing. We had an outhouse. So it was a little place you went out back, and basically it was a hole in the ground with a toilet built on top of it. And when that one got filled, they filled that up, and they dug another one. And you did it again. And the outhouse just kept moving around. I tell you what, some of the best grass out there you ever want to see, though. See, I'm proud of where I come from. You know, I don't use it as a point to be stuck on it, but I am proud. Because those are the things that made Peter who he is. It's, you know, all that's part of my pedigree. I'm named after my grandfather. That's part of my pedigree. And that historical point. But there are some fearful things in that. And what we see, what some people, what, get to the point that they don't let their children do certain things or let them go certain places or participate in certain kind of activities. Why? Because they're fearful from this historical context that if my kid goes to the store by himself to go get iced tea and a bag of Skittles, that he might get popped coming back into my rich neighborhood. I think about that sometimes. And that's some trauma that I have to deal with because I'm doing well. That God has blessed me to be able to put my family in a really nice neighborhood. But do I have to worry about my son going up the street to go get a bag of Skittles and an iced tea when he come back because some idiot in the neighborhood wants to play Superman? And that's real trauma. Oh, come on. Y'all should just stop. This would be a two-part series. But I'm feeling it, like I said. I ain't got nowhere to go. If y'all want to keep listening, I'm going to keep talking. So, it can be cultural. You've been through some things. You've been in those places. You grew up with roaches. Come on, somebody. And unfortunately, I ain't had that problem. But you grew up with this stuff. It is what it is. And it's what now got you to a point. You said that I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to go back to this. And since you decided that you're never, ever, ever going to go back to this, you do things sometimes that you probably shouldn't do. You might compromise your integrity. Oh, come on, somebody. You might compromise your integrity to make sure that you don't find yourself in that place again. Oh, I understand it, baby. I feel you. But these are the things that God's talking to us about today. That root of fear. That fear of, I don't want to be broke anymore. Mama, you know, Biggie Smalls said, baby, you know, birthdays were the worst day, but now we sipping on champagne when we was thirsty. I don't want to go back to that life. You don't either. Let's tell it the truth. So what we do is sometimes we find ourselves in compromising situations because we're looking at the fear that I don't want to go back. Instead of saying, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. And since I'm going to trust you, Lord, I'm just going to believe that you will make a way of escape. And that's the hard part, y'all. It's hard. It's hard for me, too. Because I know I grew up in a mobile home. My parents didn't own their first home until after I almost owned two. Do you see what I'm saying? You're not talking to somebody who grew up with what they call a silver spoon in his mouth. You know, I've never been on welfare, but hey, we've been close. You know what I mean? So I'm here with you. History and cultural text, what matters in this? Do you see what I'm saying? So let's go on. Guard your gates. You gotta guard how this stuff enters. Yes, you're here. You know, the Bible said, when you're in the world, you're not of the world. You know, you might have grew up, back in my hometown, we had Beacon Light. You might have grew up in Beacon Light, but Beacon Light couldn't live in you. You might have grew up on Clark Street, but Clark Street couldn't live in you. You might have grew up in Lincoln Heights, but Lincoln Heights couldn't live in you. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You know, you might have grew up in Parkland on the west side of Winston. You might have grew up on South Side. You might have grew up in Happy Hill Gardens. Oh, come on, I'm calling hoods out of there. You might have grew up in the Boston, but it can't live in you. Why? Because God has called you up, and that fear that you've been dealing with, that thing you've been fighting, that anxiety you've been stuck with, now what? That's the root cause of it, because you don't want to go back. But I'm telling you today that you got to trust him. And he said, I'll lead your paths. Come on, somebody. Woo! I'm sweating in here, but I'm feeling it. All right, so fear of victimization. So once we find out, so now we move on to what? Being the victim of this. We're always the victim. Why? Because victimization here, they tell us that men are less victimized than, I think it was women. Let me make sure I got that straight. What do you mean by that? Because women perceive risk levels a lot sooner, and they perceive the level of seriousness way faster than men do. I give you a case in point. My wife, if she stumps her toe, and I love her to death, she ready to go to the doctor to get it taken care of. Because she said it might be something bigger, this, and that. I go out here, I literally, y'all, was what, 2 years ago? I was in the garage working on my car, and I fell on top of a radiator. And it punched a hole in my side. I kid you not, I had a hole in my side about the size of a quarter. And my wife, oh, you need to go to the doctor? I was like, no, I'm good. I put a little peroxide on that, and I kept going. Because I wanted to finish my car. And in years now, I'm looking at it now, it's like, you know what, that could have been a lot serious. But sometimes, you know, God bless, you know, we said, God look out for fools and babies, and I was being a fool that day. I could have gotten an infection. I needed probably, in hindsight, I probably needed 2 or 3 stitches. But that's how, you know, sometimes us men do an ego thing and all that. I mean, I ain't no different. I'm a man too. Okay? So the level of seriousness, what was really going on, I kind of played it off. I didn't even really even look at it like that. When it was really a serious situation. So a lot of times, what? We end up, well, we scared of being this victim, and we have this fear of victimization. So we perceive our risk and our level of seriousness is way different. You think about what we're going through right now. The people's level of seriousness when it comes to this virus, it's not there. I'll be first to admit, mine wasn't either. Because I knew when it came here, I said, oh, well, I know our government, they're going to have something ready to go. I didn't think I'd be living through a pandemic. And chances are none of you did either. Are y'all with me? You see what I'm saying today? All right, lean. So the Bible says what? Lean not into your own understanding. Don't do it, y'all. See, what happens is when we do this, we start leaning to our own understanding. We start doing it the way we understand it. We start following the way we believe it. We start going after the way that we see it. And he tells us, lean not into our own understanding. But it's not showing it. He said, well, don't under or overestimate the seriousness of these things. Sometimes some of us overestimate things. We make them way worse than they are. We're talking about fear today. Then some of us underestimate them. We're not scared enough. So what? I ask God, like, let me be moderate. Let me be right there in the middle. Don't let me be too scared, but don't let me not be underscared. Do you see what I'm saying today? All right? So why do we fear or do not fear death? That's the million-dollar question right there. Let me get that sinking for a second. Why we fear or do not fear death? Well, I ran out of water over here. Let's talk about it. We fear death for really, if we fear or we don't fear death really for basically one reason. Lack of fulfillment. Think about it. And I probably said this more than one time. I'm a blessed man. God has blessed me tremendously. I've done some of everything. I've met some of everybody. I've done everything without me presidents. You know, I mean, president like of the United States and all this kind of stuff. I've been blessed. And I've often said, you know, my wife don't let me hear me say this. I said, you know what, baby, if I checked out here today, I think I'm all right. Not that I want to die early, because I want to see my kids grow up. I want to see my kids get married just like everybody else. I want to see my kids be prosperous and healthy. And Lord grant it to me. I want to be able to see grandkids and all this stuff, too. But if I checked out here today, y'all, man, I've had a great ride. I've done a lot. I mean, I've seen a lot. And you know what? And there's even more that he probably want me to see. But that lack of fulfillment, people feel like, hey, I got cheated. I didn't get it all. Some feel I was cheated. You think about, you know, we see sometimes when young people die, you know, and I often think about that. Man, they didn't get to do this. They didn't get to do that. I start feeling bad for them. Like, man, they never got to see this. They never got to see that. They never got to leave the neighborhood. They never got to go here or look at these kind of things or do this kind of stuff. I feel bad about that. And, you know, and I wonder, you know, unfinished business. So what about that unfinished business? What about that thing that you kept putting off? What about that thing you haven't done yet? What about that thing that you've been, hey, I'm going to do. I know it right now. You've been locked in your house about 2 weeks. Why ain't you doing it? You've been having time to think about it. Why ain't you writing it down? All this stuff you've been talking about, you want to do, you're gonna. God is giving you a government vacation to do it. Why ain't you doing it? Look at it. Consider it. So let's talk about this thing called a thanatophobia. Thanatophobia. What is a thanatophobia, Peter? Glad you asked. Thanatophobia is anxiety over death that becomes deliberating that you don't live life. You get to a point that you're so scared of everything that you do nothing. How many of you know these people? I know a couple of these people. And I'm encouraging you today, you don't want to be this person. Live life. God said, look, the Bible says, look, he said, I come that you may have life and that you might have life, what? More abundantly. That's what he says. I come that you might have life and that you might have life, what? More abundantly. That means you're supposed to be full of life. You're supposed to be enjoying this thing. And you know, I know y'all looking and said, why does he have the Grand Reaper seem like on this page? And I find it interesting, you know, because I always seen this symbol tied to death. And I was like, well, why is this death? And what I found out is the Grand Reaper is something that we made up too. Did you know that? Let me give you a little history on that. Y'all didn't know you was going to get a history lesson in church today, did you? You know, it's like, and the thing is, actually, it was tied to a pandemic. I'm still in the word today. It was actually tied to a pandemic when he came about. So it's, I'm going to give you a little quick background. It's estimated that about one third of Europe's entire population perished as a result of a pandemic. You all, we've seen pandemics before. And they survived. That's how you and I got here. And we're going to survive this one too, unless the Lord say something different. He said, with some areas of the continent suffering far greater losses, the original outbreak of the plague occurred during 1347 through 51. It lasted for years. And outbreaks then reoccurred several times thereafter. So clearly death was something that surviving Europeans had on their mind. And it's not surprising that they conjured an image to represent it. So what they did is what? So that they could deal with death, they made an image. Remember, I told you all, when we survive, what do? We adapt. We adapt. So what we do, we make coping mechanisms. You know, how do I, you know, we have a car. It's a coping mechanism. A car, what takes and brings me. It's a coping mechanism. So they made this coping mechanism that we know as the what we call the Grim Reaper. So, but why the skeletal figure? Why the sleep? The sleep is the little thing that he holds. Why the robe? Skeletons are symbolic of death because they represent the human body after it has decayed. So this is why you see most of the time with death, you see skeletons, right? It's because it represents the decay of the body, meaning that it's gone. The robe is thought to be what reminiscent of the religious figures of the time that they wore during funeral services. So during funeral services, that the priest would what? Wear these hooded robes. See how all these things, that people been telling us they putting together, things that we make up. Mm-hmm. Then it says this, what? It says, and the sheaf is an adapt image that is from agriculture on practices of the harvest. So what the sheaf does is, when they say that they harvesting, you know, that sheaf, that thing is actually got like a razor on it. And what they do, they would go across the field. And what they're doing is they reaping the wheat. They gleam in the fields with it. Or when they do that, what they're doing is what they're reaping the field. Okay? And when they reap the field, well, now they can go in there and they can get the harvest. So the reason they picked that is they said the harvesters used the sheaves to reap or harvest crops that were ready to be plucked from the earth. And well, that's what kind of happens when humans die. They are plucked from the earth. Come on, somebody. They are plucked with from the earth. So thanatophobia, stop living life like that. You don't want to live in that fear. But let's talk about it a little bit more. Let's talk about biblical fear. I'm almost done. I appreciate you all hanging with me today. That means this must be good to you still here. So I guess the formula to keep people on long is be talking about something. Woo, let me shut up. All right, I'm getting myself in trouble today. All right, so biblical fear. So there is a different kind of fear. We talked about irrational fear, and we're talking about rational fear. The rational fear is what? That biblical fear. What is the biblical fear? See, a lot of times we have these things twisted up. So we see fear, we automatically equate it to what we know. This is why the Bible tells us what? Lean not into your own understanding, but acknowledge him, right? So biblical fear means really more of a reverence, an admiration, adoring, a respect.
When we say fear God, when we say fear God, it don't mean that, oh, I go hide in the bushes and scare. Why, if I'm going to fear him, how can I love somebody that I fear?
Oh, come on, y'all.
If I'm so scared of them, that's not love, that's fear. That's why we don't serve God out of worldly fear, but there's a biblical fear that we serve him through, which is a fear of what, Lord, I love you. Lord, I adore you. Lord, I respect you. And because I respect you, I'm going to do some things. So respect, let's go on. So respect actually means what? To agree, to recognize, and to abide by. So if you respect God, what you're going to do is what? You're going to follow the commandments. And if you're following the commandments, then that means you reverence him. Therefore, you fear God. Oh, come on, somebody. Did y'all catch that right there? Woo! Thank you, Lord. Did you catch that right there? See, so if you respect him, if you follow his commandments, if you do what he's telling you to do, then that's a sign of you respecting him. And if you respect him, then you fear him. And he tells us what? To what? To fear. Not fear in the sense, see, this again, how you've been conditioned to think about things. You've been thinking about it this way, but he's really saying this. But they've been conditioning you to think this. You gotta know him for yourself. Gotta know him for yourself. So what does he say here? Respect. So what does respect mean? Respect means simply to what? To look back on. Think about it. You got spec. Spec means to look for. I mean, spec means to look. S-P-E-C-T. That's a Latin word for look. Re, we know re, y'all did SAT prep. Re means to do what? Do again. So respect means to look back. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, you learned something today. To respect means to look back. So if I'm going to respect and I'm going to look back, what am I looking back to? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm looking back to that respect is what? Something that is earned. That means that I have to have done something to be respected. Oh, are y'all with me right now? Whew, I know I've been seeing that a lot. But so you have to have done something to be respected. Are you with me? So when we find out what God has done for us, he gave us life. Mm-hmm. He's provided for us. You know, he's opened up doors. Some of us, he's healed our bodies. He's kept us in perfect peace. He's kept us from losing our minds. He's kept us from danger seen and unseen. Therefore, what? I understand and I respect him. Why? Because I can look and see what he's done, and I go back in my mind and I remember what he's done, and therefore now I have a respect that I follow through on what he's asked me to do, and because I follow through on what he's asked me to do, therefore I fear him. Do you see how that thing come together? Oh, y'all made me do a mathematical proof out of the Bible here. So, what do you mean? Respect is earned, okay? So respect really is earned, because you have to have done something to look back on something. So you do something, right? So when it's done, now you take what is done, you go back and you look on it. So what does the Bible tell you? He said, keep your mind stayed on me, right? What do you mean by keeping your mind stayed on me? Continually remember these things that I've done for you. Remember, I was talking to you and preached to you last week that what? Check the resume. If y'all notice that my messages have had a theme, and it was not intentional. God has done this. That has a thing that I have to continue to remind us that what God has us in place, that I continue to remind you what he's already put in you, that I got to stir up the gift that's in you. I got to remind you that what I've already done this for you. I did it for the children of Israel. I took them over the Red Sea. I provided for them in the wilderness, that I'm going to do the same for you. I provided for Joseph and his family and brought them to the king's table. I provided for Daniel and I allowed Daniel to go through the lion's den, that I provided for Moses and I provided for Abraham and I provided for them. Even when I got to the point that I needed money to pay my taxes, I told the boys to go down there and cast the pole into the sea, and then he was going to catch a fish, and there was going to be enough money in there to pay my taxes and yours. Come on, y'all. Respect. Respect meaning that you constantly in remembrance of what he's done. I'm constantly in remembrance of what he's done. And because of that, then what? I follow his commandments, and because I follow his commandments, now I reverence him with the biblical fear. So can't respect what's not been done. What are you doing? Ask yourself, am I missing the mark? This is a personal thing. Are you missing the mark? Remembering what God has done. So I can't leave here and not give you some takeaways, and I'm almost done. Takeaway number one, Isaiah 8:11, we read today. Don't be infected by people's fear among you. We cannot let people, other people's fear affect us. That's giving them the thermostat to your house. If they don't care, then you let them not care. But it don't mean that you don't care. If they run over their neighbor, don't mean you run over your neighbor. That what you run the thing. You make the decision. Takeaway number one, don't be infected by others' fear among you. If they want to jump off the roof, let that be them. I'm going to try to convince them not to jump. But if they decide to jump in, that's on them. Because for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I've made a decision. This is where I'm going to be. What else we said? Number two, God is a sanctuary for his people. He tells us right there in Isaiah 14 and 15, right? That what? This sanctuary. So what are we to do? Sanctuary. I remember we talked on Wednesday night about the sanctuary. The sanctuary is a place of hiding. It's a place of security. It's a place of safety. It's a place of holiness. It's a place of unity. So in that sanctuary, right now I'm in the sanctuary of my home. I'm in this sanctuary where we're abiding together and we're climbing up and we're gathering and I'm interacting with my brothers and sisters online and we iron is sharpening iron. Takeaway number three, teach the next generation. He said what in chapter 8, verse 16 through 17, he said what? Seal it up for the next generation. You and I, we got to start training our babies. Maybe this is how church goes now. So now if this is church go, you can't rely on the preacher to teach them. Unless you're going to put them up and stick them in front of my YouTube video or stick them in front of somebody YouTube, that's not going to probably happen with these kids. I see my kids. I know how they do. So now it's going to be what? Incumbent upon me as the parent. I got to teach my kid. The Bible says it like this. It said, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they shall not depart from it. So what? That's on us. So what do we? These three things. Don't let other people's doom and gloom affect you. Number two, be in the sanctuary of God. Hide in God. I know it ain't perfect, and we might have some rough times ahead of us, okay? But know that God got his people, and we're going to hide in that sanctuary, and I decide, you know, and I made the decision that I'm going to look at the good side of this thing. I'm going to look at, you know what, that God has got us here, spending time with our family, and we're pulling these things together. You know, I've gotten to spend more time with my family, you know, in the last year than I have probably ever, you know. And me being able to teach my kids and love on my wife and love on my mother-in-law and do the things that I need to do, you know, take time out for ourselves. These things are important. And then what? Teach the next generation. If they're going to know it, they're going to know it from you. That's how they're going to know it. Because you don't tell them. Know. You know, you want to be the one to tell them. They ain't gonna know. So God bless you all, love you all. I hope that you got the root of what this message was today. And this message was simply this. Fear. Fear. It's about us. It starts with self. And it's where we put ourselves at in that place that got us stuck there. And with that, we've gotten just stuck and stuck. But now when we start removing us out of the equation, because you can't save yourself. He said, save yourself from this underworld generation, meaning that what? Abide, follow. And I've given you that. That's some root causes there. Look at that trauma that we've been dealing with. Mm-hmm. Remove that trauma. Deal with that trauma that's got us conditioned to look at things a certain way. Don't let others around you and where they are affect where you are. Oh my God, y'all, I've been on here 2 hours, woo! And y'all still listening, God is good. This thing has been good to me, y'all. And when you look at all these things, I'm telling you that you're gonna find yourself in a better place. That God wants to do some things for you, but we cannot walk in this fear, y'all. I decided, you know what I'm saying? If I see a red car, it's gonna be the red car of positivity. And I'm gonna walk into it and say, okay, I'm gonna find the positive things here because I know they exist. And when I'm only existing on the negative, that's all I'm gonna see. And that's all I'm gonna run into. And that's all I'm gonna confront. And that's where I'm gonna find myself. You know, right now, before we end this, I wanna pray for each and every one of you and drop some jewels here. And then we'll go into the end of our service. If this has been a blessing to you, ask that you financially bless us. And I'll put it above the screen because it's not about that. But this is about this prayer first. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord. Lord, you see the word that you've given me, Lord, you give your people, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, you, that the root of fear, Lord, you, those things that we struggle with, Lord, within ourselves, Lord God, for self-preservation, Lord Jesus, those things we see, Lord, you, to prepare ourselves, those things that we've been in and we struggle with, oh God. Lord, I ask that you touch your people, Lord Jesus, here and there, all over the world. Lord, you ask that you bless them, Lord Jesus, keep them, Lord Jesus, from sickness, Lord Jesus, danger, seen and unseen to them. Hold them and keep them in the palm of thy hand like only you can. Bless them, oh God. Open up doors for them both financially and physically, Lord. Let their houses be mended. Lord, let marriages come back together. Lord, let children know their parents and understand, Lord Jesus, and build relationships, oh God. For Lord Jesus, the first church was there in the home. And Lord, I thank you for that right now in advance. Lord, I ask that you allow daughters, Lord Jesus, and mothers to apologize to one another and reconcile. Let husbands and wives reconcile to one another. Let sons and daughters, Lord Jesus, come back to families, oh God, and let us be that unit that you call us to be. Lord, I ask that you continue to touch, Lord Jesus, the Safe House Church and the ministries, oh God. I ask that you bless us, oh God. Help us to make sound decisions, oh God, and be the example that you call us to be, Lord. For we know it's not easy, Lord Jesus, but it's worth it, oh God. And we thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise your name, Lord, and we give your name all the honor and the praise, the glory and the power, Lord, for belongs to you and your Lord. I ask that you bless them financially, Lord Jesus. Open up the windows of heaven, pour out blessing down room, see, Lord, let checks come from different places, things be sold, whatever they need to do. Lord, and I thank you, Lord, in advance. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. If they're not saved, Lord, I ask that you touch them right now. Lord, that they come to know you, Lord, that they be baptized with the fullness of your Holy Ghost, oh God. Lord, there's someone who desires to be baptized, Lord, let them reach out to us, oh God, and we figure out a way to get them to the water, Lord Jesus, and baptize them in the beautiful name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name, and we give your name all the honor and the praise, the glory and the power. Lord, I ask that you bless the offerings, Lord, that may come across today, that they go forth to the glory of the Lord Jesus, of you, Lord Jesus, and blessing this ministry, and help the Lord Jesus, those who are less fortunate around us. Strengthen us and keep us, Lord Jesus, and help us like only you can. Lord, we ask you to do all these things in us in the powerful name of Jesus. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Woo, y'all. Y'all have gotten a lot out of your boy today. Y'all worked me hard today. I'm just here to tell you, y'all worked me hard today. But God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. Amen, amen, amen. So at this time, if God has placed it on your heart that you can financially bless us, I just put out there on the screen how you can do so. Man, I'm full, y'all got, I'm tired. Y'all didn't work me. But I believe that this was a tremendous message for someone on today. On the PayPal thing, put an S on the back of gives. That's tinyurl.com/safehousegives. I left my S off of this one. And then, of course, we have the cash out. Whatever God put on your heart, if he did anything, if this was a blessing to you, everything in this ministry goes directly, and my church members know, I don't take any salary or anything. Everything here goes directly into us just being able to buy equipment and, you know, us here at the local church. If you're ever in the Greensboro area and when all this is clear, come by and visit us. We're at 3113 Cedar Park Road in the beautiful city of Greensboro, North Carolina, at the Guilford Convention Center. We start at 9 o'clock in the morning. And we usually, this is by that time that we normally out. You know, our praise and worship services obviously go a little bit longer, but this is by the time we out. So I think I've had that up enough. If all hearts and minds are clear, I want you all to have a tremendous, tremendous week. Be blessed. And look, the root of evil. I mean, not the root of evil. I mean, but the, oh, no, I can't even get it out now. The root of fear. You know, I often use the acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real. So remember that root of fear. This message will be on YouTube, and we will put it on our YouTube page. If you would like to have this, see it again or whatever, because I know once I get off, it'll kind of go away or whatever. If you would like to see it again, just send me an inbox, hit me an inbox, and I can send you that link, and then you can see it again however you desire. God bless you all. Love you all. You all pray for me as I pray for you, and we're going to get through this, y'all, because this too will pass. So know this and know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. Love you all. We'll see you all on Wednesday. Please join us on Wednesday as we have our Wednesday night Bible class, and we'll continue going on there. You all have to take care and have a great week. Protect yourself and protect your families. God bless you all. I love you all, and goodbye from the Safe House.